Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
This episode of Wrestle Ramble is sponsored by our very own Almanac. The Wrestle Talk Almanac is back and bigger than ever and is the must-have guide to wrestling in 2019. Where else will you find who won all of wrestling's most important tournaments, discover the real names of over 1,000 wrestlers, and see the star ratings for literally thousands of matches? There's also coverage of over 250 shows from around the world, with star ratings, reviews, match times, outcomes, and attendance figures, which will likely be inflated on Eric Bischoff and Bruce Pritchard's podcasts. Not only that, but our boffins here at WrestleTalk HQ have put together win-loss statistics for every wrestler from every major promotion. So now you can be that annoying stat guy at your wrestling parties. Or maybe you can find yourself a time machine and give a copy of it to your past self so they can place a few bets and then buy a casino. I'm obviously joking, I'm not condoning betting, it's a Back to the Future Part 2 joke. Finally, the first 100 purchases will get a hand-signed photo of Ollie and myself, which I guess some people might think is a good thing. So what are you waiting for? Order it now by using the links in the podcast description or go to wrestletalk.bigcartel.com. That's wrestletalk.bigcartel.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Donate on Patreon.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Luke Owen and I'm joined by El Fakador Laurie Blake.
All right, mate.
Hello, mate.
Hello, mate. How's it going?
Good, mate. How are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Very well, thanks.
Oh, very
bit
well,
hot, actually.
It is. Very, very warm today.
My back is like a water slide currently.
Oh, yeah. I think I'm going to have like a gross sweat stain on my back.
Yeah.
As you can probably tell, we are recording this after the stream as opposed to before the stream like we usually do because Laurie has been doing nothing but filming all day today.
Yay!
He's had a busy old day today. So we're doing this afterwards, which means we've had like the hour-long sweat out that is doing a sweat.
And I also recorded Screen Grapple before
that's
that.
Right,
so I've been in here for about an hour and a half before that.
Mate, it's grossly hot in here.
And then, so all I've done in the in-between to cool down was eat a tagliatelle. And that was hot. And so I came in and just like, not an inch of me is not covered with a thin film of sweat.
Oh, mate. I feel bad for you, dude.
It sucks in the UK when it gets like this. I know like other places are like, get much hotter than we do.
Yeah.
I don't like...
It's because it gets muggy.
It's so muggy. And there's no... We don't have any system of relief. We're not like Australia or America where like aircon is built into buildings.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, I go on the overground for 5 minutes a day. And I choose to because it's the only air-conditioned tube line. And I'm just like, oh, yeah. Sweet bliss.
I have genuinely considered changing my route to get to work. Of getting the tube to Shepherd's Bush. Oh, getting to White City and getting the overground from there. Oh, no, to Shepherd's Bush and getting the overground from there through to Stratford. It will take me longer, but I don't have to be on the central line where it is, like, so gross and disgusting.
So the other weekend when it got into, I think it was a month or two, it was like a month ago, when it got into the mid-30s on a Saturday, I was going up to Warrington with my missus to see her family. And we were just like, normally we go on a Friday night. We decided to go on the Saturday. And it was the best thing ever.
Oh,
because
yeah?
I spent the hottest part of the day for about 3 hours on an air-conditioned train. And I was just looking outside being like, I'm not out there. This is so good.
And I actually am one of those people that loves summer in the UK. Like it, I love it. I love it when it's bright and sunny outside. I genuinely like walking around London when it is like really hot. because I just think it looks cool, and I think the city can be very beautiful at times. Bit too busy, but it can be beautiful at times. Mm-hmm. And so I like it. I like being able to sit outside at a pub and have a drink. Like when we were out with Steve the other night, we got to sit outside.
Oh, I love a summer evening.
Yeah.
Mwah, chef's kiss.
Much prefer that than sitting out, you know, inside when it is winter and you still have your coat on because it's still cold.
I quite like that. If the pub's cozy enough.
If the pub's cozy enough, it's like a nice roaring fire.
You've got to choose where you're going.
That's very true, So I'm a man who likes the summer months. My wife hates it, but I absolutely love the summer months. But at the same time, I'm one of those people that was like, it's hot though, isn't it? Yeah. It is hot. Like I'm sweating sitting here because it is that hot.
There's just no relief. Like, I don't know how we get the air out of this studio. This is the thing I don't understand. It's like, I think we've tried everything.
Well, the only idea that we had, I think it was either you or Pete that said, we just need to like leave the doors open overnight to let all of the gross air that's in here out.
They could take the air and our equipment out with them.
Well, that's it. Yeah, we then just like leave our
door open.
Do you
know what? I'm fine with that. As long as the thieves take the air as well.
Yeah. Because there is AC in here, but it's behind the set.
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
We turn
none of the AC in here works at all in this building.
So, I mean, I know Ollie's not listening, but we should get...
get us a Dyson fan.
I tell you what, everyone who's listened to this podcast, email ollie@wrestletalk.com with the subject line, Dyson Airblade. With a link to amazon.co.uk. With a Dyson blade link, or like any place where you can
just
buy
that
a Dyson
wonderful
air blade.
Circular fan that cools the air and then pushes it around the room.
Everyone listening, send him that email. But don't say anything else in the email. Just send him the link, and we'll see what he thinks about it tomorrow.
He's gonna be so cross. Yeah, well, hopefully.
I mean, hopefully people send him the email.
Hopefully, unconscious enough that like it seeps into his subconscious just enough that he has to buy it.
Have you got any plans for the weekend?
No, actually, this weekend I have zero plans. My girlfriend has been marking A-level exams for the last month, so we have done nothing. But then we've had a few weekends of going out and seeing people and various family commitments and stuff. So it's just been really busy. Mm. So this is the first weekend of no actual plans for a while, and I'm really excited. Nice. 'Cause I'm just excited to just tootle around Greenwich and go to the pub and have a roast dinner.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Yes, mate.
That's all I want to do this weekend.
Yeah. Nice. Good
Go
stuff.
To the cinema.
Oh, nice. What do you think you've seen?
I haven't seen Spider-Man yet.
That's
annoyingly.
True. Yeah.
I don't actually know what else is in the cinema, really.
Toy Story 4 still
on. Toy Story 4, yeah. There's a few bits and bobs knocking around, but I need to do my research.
Well, let's crack on with the show because it is this week's NXT and Killian Dane's only going to bloody return to beat up poor old Matt Riddle. So we're going to talk about that. Here's the show. Referee in this match between Matt Riddle and our two... Oh, I'm going to get this wrong now.
Arturo Ruas. Arturo,
but it's not Ruas, though, is it? It's like
it was Huas.
Hua. Like your Al Pacino. Yes,
like it was war.
So yes, the show kicked off with Matt Riddle versus Arturo Ruas. Oh man, you can just tell that we're just like British and white because this is a name that I'm. What was he before?
Adrian Gerald.
I could do that one. Yeah. This is going to take me a little while to do. So apologies if we sound like morons while trying to say this man's name. But Arturo Ruas or Huas. My favorite thing about this match, though, was like as much as I really enjoyed the match, when Matt Riddle was making his entrance, he was bro-fisting everyone. And he went up to a guy who was not playing ball.
Yeah.
And he sat there with his arms folded, sat back in his chair. He's like, I'm not fist broing. I'm not fist bumping you, you dick. And so Matt Riddle just went, boop. Just fist bumped him in the chest instead. It's amazing.
I love Matt Riddle.
Didn't faze him in the slightest. But this was a new look and identity for Ruas. And he was given the name by an MMA legend of the same name, by all accounts. The Street something.
Street Fighter.
Street Fighter, yeah. It was
given Street Fighter Ruas.
Yes, given by Ryu and Ken. And actually, Morrow was saying...
You rang up Sagat. Dear Sagat.
Can I use...
I don't know why I'm saying dear on the phone, but I am.
That's how I always conduct my phone calls, as if they're letters.
Yeah.
They're audio letters, I like to call them. And Morrow was really putting this over, this is not going to be a pro wrestling match. This is going to be like an MMA fight.
Yeah.
And it really was. It was really cool.
I thought the presentation of this was fantastic. I love the idea, because It's definitely something he said before Ronaldo as well, about like Shayna Baszler matches, for instance, and stuff like that. He's like, you know, he's obviously alluded to his own MMA background of calling those sorts of fights as well. But to see it actually play out like an actual, like, there was no wrestling moves in this. There was like only mat wrestling, not
MMA wrestling.
There was no suplexes. There was not a single thing in this that was like, and this is a normal WWE match. There was barely any need for pinning or anything like that. Either.
No, it was all about like takedowns and getting the submissions. Yeah. It was like a worked MMA match. And I really enjoyed it. Yeah, because it was so different from everything else on this show. And it was so different from anything else that WWE put on. So it was actually like, it's kind of like wicked to see, really. I really, really enjoyed the presentation of it.
And they did it well as well. I think what was so good about it was because obviously a lot of MMA is swinging and missing.
Mm.
There was a bunch of swings and misses.
Oh, yeah.
But then there was a genuine moment where Matt Riddle goes for this kick and just kicks him on the side, like puts it on the side of his face, but like softly enough that it's obviously not hurt him massively. But like to see actual like connection and be okay.
Like worked MMA fights are very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. But if you are going to do one successfully, you're most likely going to get it done with Matt Riddle.
Yeah,
because he is someone who's very much bridged that gap between the two sports and has done it very well. And I'm not the biggest MMA fan in the world.
Mm-hmm.
I can count on one hand the amount of fights I've seen. And majority of the fights I've seen are the ones that are over very, very quickly because they're the ones that are like, oh, you got to check this out.
Yeah.
Like when they had like the guy just ran in and kneed that dude in the face a couple of weekends ago.
Amazing.
Or, you know, CM Punk just
getting mullered.
Getting muller cornered. And Ruas got like in this really sort of tough submission, but then like I love that Riddle hyper extended his arm to like get out of it and get an armbar of his own. And it was really cool, like transition stuff.
Do you mind, Randy?
He's not breaking stuff, mate. Ruas has got some really good kicks on him as well because he's like a capoeira artist and things like that, like a fighter, and it was just like he has got some cool maneuvers. I just think he's got a really awesome presentation.
Well, I think considering that this match wasn't really there was nothing about this match needed to happen.
Mm.
You know what I mean? This match wasn't furthering a story, it wasn't really doing much, but I love the fact that they just went, oh well, let's put these two people in the ring and have them just do something weird.
Yeah.
And something unusual for NXT. So it wasn't just like, this could have just been a Riddle squash match.
Yeah, totally.
For the purposes of having the segment that came afterwards.
Yeah.
But they went, oh no, actually, let's just be clever about this and do something completely different. Just like test the waters for maybe a future match with Matt Riddle where you get him in the ring with someone else. Like, and he eventually has his match with Brock Lesnar.
And I can't wait for that. And then like further down the line to that, the next time the Ruas comes out in front of that NXT audience, because it's the same people that are there all the time.
Yeah.
They'll have remembered this match. And like the NXT audience watching at home will have remembered this match and be like, oh, that was the guy that had that really good match with Matt Riddle. And so even in defeat, it does put him over to a degree more than if Riddle had just gone in there and squashed Tesco's finest.
But it's absolutely something also that they can, you know, this is something they could deploy again with Kushida.
Yeah.
Like, it's you know, you could have a Matt Riddle-Kushida match that is an MMA match. Because as they said later in the show during Kushida's match, he was undefeated in MMA.
Exactly, so like, yeah.
There's a lot to come out of this from what was a bit of setup for a later bit of story.
That's right, yeah. Because Riddle, like, he fired up and hit the final flash, his big knee strike, and then he starts, like, firing down fists. But the key to it was the flash, the knee strike, essentially knocked Ruas out. They called it a TKO.
Yeah.
So we just started raining down these fists, and the referee was like, I've seen enough of this. You're the winner.
Which is the MMA finish.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's so different to, like, as a wrestling fan, a pro wrestling fan, it's a completely different mindset to get your head into, because I was like, oh man, she's DQ'd him for not letting go.
Yeah.
But actually, no, it was he won via TKO. He won for kicking too much ass.
Do you think this is could be like a minor response, an NXT style response to AEW as well? Because the idea that there's a more sports presentation in AEW, this was very much like the sports presentation of this match. The only thing that was WWE was when he flips his flip-flops off. You know what I mean? That was the only really WWE thing about it.
The rest of the thing was very
sporting, you know?
Yeah, totally. And that's an interesting idea as well, because it's been reported at the moment that WWE are negotiating with Fox to get NXT up onto FS1 to compete against AEW. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that Paul Heyman apparently is very keen on in regards of his creative direction for Raw is to make wins and losses mean something, because that's what AEW are doing and that's what people are kind of into at the moment.
It's like, because AEW doing it, not because it's worthwhile. Like, not because that's what people care about and people are watching it going like, I'm suspending my disbelief that they're having a fight in the first place, so I kind of want it to mean something.
Such a great line in the report. That essentially just says that one of Heyman's big plan is for storylines to just not be dropped randomly. It's like, whoa! Mind blowing.
Well, he's one of the greatest thinkers of his time, Paul Heyman.
But as you say, really, this was kind of all a bit of a setup, because as Riddle was celebrating, a masked man jumped into the ring and started killing poor Matt Riddle. And he takes off the mask to reveal himself as Killian Dane, who we've seen been doing promos for the last few weeks and stuff, talking about how he's going to be coming back and how he's not forgotten the troubles of his past. And he's going to take them out on people in NXT. And
without you.
Sunday, bloody Sunday. And he just starts laying waste to Matt Riddle. Absolutely laying waste to him.
Just dropped so many sentons.
Oh, yeah. He was dropping sentons like CM Punk dropped pipe bombs. He was just dropping them left, right, and center, throwing them from pillar to post. And then he sets them up onto the stage. And he sentons him through the stage.
Yeah, that's cool.
It was bonkers, but I thought it was rad.
Yeah, I like that. What a way to reintroduce Killian Dane as well. It's like, I think someone who, he was always the enforcer for Sanity, kind of fit that role, but never really was a character while in Sanity, if you know what I mean.
He was just a big dude.
He was a presence.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see him come back and like make an impact as a single star, because he's not really, he had a very short singles run in WWE when he first came over.
Yeah, it was very short.
Before they replaced... Who was in Sanity first? There was someone else.
Sawyer Fulton.
Yeah, and then they replaced.
He's now in Impact as Madman Fulton. Yeah, so like, I mean, and Killian Dane was wearing a Tool t-shirt, so instantly he's my new favorite wrestler.
Yeah,
that's the way to get over in my books, is to wear t-shirts of bands that I like.
So Luke really wants a faction with Eric Rowan and Killian Dane. That's it.
Listening to cool music. Yeah. That's what they're called. Wicked cool sweet, music boys.
Sweet car journeys, man.
But I thought this was a great way to re-debut Killian Dane to the NXT audience. It's great to have him back in NXT, because here he will get a good run. He'll be taken very, very seriously.
Yeah.
And I think throwing him straight into a feud with Matt Riddle is like, that's a big time push. It's a big time deal.
Setting out your stall very early, isn't it?
We have
huge aspirations for this guy. This isn't just a roadblock to Matt Riddle.
Yeah.
Which is interesting as well, to think that might, you know, because it always seemed like Matt Riddle was on the fast track to the title. So maybe this is we're going to put that off for a bit longer.
I wonder whether once the Ciampa Gargano story kind of had to get nixed right at the last hurdle as well. So disappointingly, like right at the last hurdle. And they changed to Gargano Cole. That kind of threw out the rest of the plans, because that match was then so good that they effectively, like, they were like, well, let's just do that again twice over. I almost imagine that, because that was so good and it got such a good reaction, they were like, well, let's change plans even further and we'll extend out this Gargano-Cole feud into the summer.
Yeah.
Because the reports were, the plan originally was, it was going to be Matt Riddle in the main events of TakeOver Toronto.
Yeah.
But this Cole-Gargano thing has just, like, caught so much fire that it makes sense to go with that and go with the momentum.
Absolutely, yeah.
And just, like, you know, well, Riddle will get his shot eventually, but we don't need to do it now. We can do it when we get to Survivor Series weekend or even Mania weekend next year.
Well, you absolutely want to have those. If you are NXT, you want to have those stories that where the matches are the sort of repetitive matches where you can go like, but what about those three matches they had? What about those three matches they had? Because that makes you feel more like a like almost just like Raw, like the general main roster stuff. Because you know, people will talk about Cena, Rock and stuff like that.
It's or Corbin Rollins.
And, infinite Corbin Rollins feud. But I think that's kind of, you know, that is the signifier of a good feud, is that you have these three or however many huge blow-off matches.
Yeah, I think that's kind of like the opposite ends of the spectrum, really, isn't it? It's like Cole Gargano is a match that people want to see more of. So doing three pay-per-view main events with that match isn't a problem.
No.
But no one wanted to see another Baron Corbin Rollins match. Yeah. So doing that three times in a row becomes like a bloody hell, lads.
Well, that was a death of ideas. And this was we had so many ideas that we didn't even consider this as a thing.
We could
but
do
we
more.
We might as well do. We should probably do more of this. I don't know.
So back to Killian Dane. I thought this was a terrific re-debut of him. And I think that these two will have a great match at TakeOver because it's such a clash of styles. Like Riddle is this, you know, the submission based guy. He's the MMA fighter. Whereas Dane is all about power and body hair.
Yeah.
Like he's going to absolutely kill this.
Well, just think about the pure absorption powers of his chest hair.
Oh, yeah.
Like Riddle's going to be laying in kicks. And he's going to be like, and what?
And what?
Just folding into a cushion.
Randy Andy Datsun, who is pulling a disgusted face.
I don't like feet and back hair are two of my kryptonites, so I just, okay.
Well, there you go. If you want to attack Randy Andy Datsun,
get your feet and back hair out.
Have feet.
Yeah. Walk down the street. Mate, I've got feet. Oh, no. Whatever you like.
It's great to have an anti foot fetish.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
What are people saying in the super chats?
They are saying some things, so I shall read them out to you.
Please do.
Tim Arndt says nothing, but he does later, but I will get to that when he writes the message. Jobber JJ says Dane re-debut came out of nowhere and was great.
It was great. Loved it. Yeah.
Did you know it was, at what point did you only know it was him when he pulled his mask off?
Well, I figured it was going to be a debut of sorts, otherwise they wouldn't have put him in a mask. It's either him or Cedric, and I kind of quickly figured it wasn't him because he was winning. Yeah. And then
if he'd just pulled the mask off and gone,
pull the mask. Hey guys, well no, if it was Cedric, he'd have come in and got beaten up by Matt Riddle, go like, guys, I got him
while on the floor, crying, bleeding.
I think I got him. I saw a big dude in the ring, and because we've had like the teases of a re-debut, I kind of figured it was Killian Dane.
Yeah. Japanese name says it's been reported that NXT isn't profitable with live show attendance, no TV and high salaries. With no main roster continuity, is NXT a waste?
No, absolutely not. Because you're building, like, NXT is the best product that they put out. It's the only reason that a lot of people subscribe to the network. So it's not a waste. It's not profitable. You're absolutely right. It makes $0.
But that's possibly why they're doing more of the loaning out people to smaller shows. Yeah. Right? Like there's much more of, you know, the Street Profits going to Evolve and being the champions, putting on the Evolve show and sending a load of guys over there. they're now more involved in sending people like Kyle O'Reilly to progress shows. But they're going to get fees from those places for the appearance. So
yeah,
so you're kind of now, I guess they're now monetizing the rental of superstars to some degree.
I think there's also this idea that WWE is a business and they don't want these wrestlers appearing for other, they don't want them signing for other companies. Yeah. They don't want them going to New Japan or Ring of Honor or now AEW. So they just hoovered up all of the talent. It was like, well, we'll just put them here. Because now they can't go anywhere.
Yes.
So it doesn't matter. Like, we can put them on the main roster eventually. But the key to it is they're now not with another company.
Yeah.
So thumbs up for us. And
it's WWE's vault, really.
Yeah, exactly. And there was a really interesting, in that report about NXT possibly going to FS1, the report is so, it's fascinating. It's almost brilliantly WWE. And actually, it's almost brilliantly business-wise. It's that it doesn't matter if it doesn't beat AEW in the ratings. What it matters is that it chips away their audience. Because if they, even if they get 10% of the audience that might have watched AEW, then it's a win. Because they're not going to make, they might make a bit of money off it now because they'll get some TV rights. But also key to it, they're taking away people who might watch the new product and get sucked into that and become a move away from being a fan of WWE into watching AEW instead. It's kind of a brilliant, business move.
I think NXT's just in a weird place now. It's not that, I don't think that it was ever a waste because its entire point was to turn the school of WWE into a TV show.
Yeah.
And the TV show is mostly so that people can practice being on a WWE-like product.
Yeah.
And it just happens that it got really good.
And then and the takeovers were fantastic. Yeah, exactly.
They must make money.
But the thing is, like, as an annual thing, it is not a profitable
company.
But
it's not a loss because it's part of a much wider business. Like,
yeah, but it's just like, you know, WWE Studios.
I'm sure their mobile games make crazy money for no reason.
Mate, yeah,
like, you know what I mean? It's like, when you've got that happening, this is fine.
I was going to say, when you hear those reports that, like, Electronic Arts make tens of millions of dollars per month on Simpsons Tapped Out. You're like, yeah, there's probably a reason why they're not making just like a proper Simpsons game with no loot boxes and monetization and stuff like that. So yeah, but like, you know, WWE Studios is a division of WWE that makes no money, but they keep it because it's like a prestige thing.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Tim Arntz says, I heard from Dave Meltzer that Fox wants NXT to move on to TV on Wednesday nights to compete with AEW in October, as you mentioned. Sam Honey says, I know the Riddle push was shelved, but do you think with the changes to Raw and SmackDown, Riddle will lose to Dana TakeOver to go up to the main roster?
He's a Paul Heyman guy, right? Like, Paul Heyman would love to have him on Raw. But then again, you know, it's whether Vince can get on board, I guess.
Yeah.
I think it depends on, like, really the planning as well, because you've got to think, you can't just keep taking guys with no plan for them. Like, you know, there's either going to have to be a swapsy and swap back kind of thing now, or there's, you can't just go, we'll have Riddle as well, and then because there's too many people to do stories with.
Yeah,
exactly. They're going to suffer from the exact same problem that NXT has currently, where you've got Keith Lee going, I've been here for ages,
I've been here for a year and I've done nothing. I will have a couple more, please.
Yeah, we'll do three more and then we can do the rest later. Japanese names says, out of these four, who had the best NXT career? Sami Callihan, CJ Parker, TM61, or James Storm?
It's tough because none of them did anything. But I guess I'm going to go with CJ Parker because he did get on TV. On takeovers, rather. He had that takeover match with Kevin Owens. I don't know if Callahan got a takeover match. He might have done.
I'm going to say TM61.
Actually, yeah, they got far in the...
They had a lot of time.
They got far in the Dusty one Classic. Year, yeah, they got the finals in the Dusty Classic against AOP. So yeah, I guess them.
Caleb Maldonado, who sent us those, didn't he?
Yeah, the Young Bucks.
He did, yes. Says, saw a tweet that asked which five wrestlers you would like to storm Area 51 with. Who would you guys pick and why?
I've not really been keeping up on what this is.
No, it's something on the internet where people... It was a Facebook event where people were going to storm Area 51 to see all the aliens that the government are hiding, and hundreds of thousands of people joined it. And then it just became a thing. And now it's meme after meme after meme.
So it's the Flat Earth Society.
It's a genius idea.
It was a joke that turned into a real thing.
It's a wonderful, genius idea to storm a military facility that may or may not be hiding advanced alien weaponry.
Yeah.
Well, so they've got ways to keep you out of there that you don't even understand.
It's natural selection, because if everyone does it and they get blasted, if you're stupid enough to do it, then...
Well, in which case, to answer the question, I'm taking five of the biggest lads I can, and I'm going to do Operation Human Shield.
Operation Human Shield. That's a really good idea. Uh-huh. I'm going to do... I'm going to take Taker. Just the Undertaker, because he can teleport. So I'm just going to teleport us in there.
I'm taking the Spirit Squad. Stephen McAllister says, "Hey guys, it would be awesome to get a shout out for my birthday today. I've joined the 30 Club. Keep up the great work."
Oh, man.
Yeah, well, you know, we could do, but he said it would be nice, but... No, I'm joking.
Happy
bloody birthday to you. Welcome to the 30 Club as well.
It's all downhill from here.
But it's also lovely we meet up on Thursdays to play Dungeons & Dragons. Crack on with the rest of the show. After we had the Killian Dane re-debut in the Matt Riddle match, we got a promo for NXT UK TakeOver Cardiff and the Raw reunion. And then the Street Profits did one of their little promo segments backstage where they were talking about how the Undisputed Era think that they're a joke and the Undisputed Era are running the place. But he just goes, "Nah, fam, you think we ain't serious? How come you couldn't beat us then?" Mm-hmm. Pointing at the belts, pointing out that they won the ladder match.
Win the ladder match, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And Dawkins says that they'll still be the champs, and that is undisputed. And Montez Ford, the big gif-able face that he has got, just sort of going...
And they just hold it for ages.
Ages.
Yeah.
Much really longer than was probably needed, but that made it better.
Yeah, I thought it was a pretty weak promo before that, actually. Yeah. I think they did... Well, obviously, they did the opposite of what they normally do, which is they let Angelo Dawkins do most of the talking.
Oh, Montez Ford.
Yeah, so they should have let Ford do the majority of it. But I don't know. I just prefer it when it's a bit more like... They've definitely made it more official now, all the Street Profits stuff, and I preferred it when it was actually like a bit more... Felt like they're just messing around.
On the Instagrams, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird that it's still got the Snapchat presentation.
Oh, is it but Snapchat one?
Well, that's the logo, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
okay.
It's like the ghost thing.
It's the ghost one.
But it's the ghost one. But yeah, it's that. It now always feels like proper cameras, all a bit too set up.
I get that.
Before it just felt very organic.
But I will say, because the last two Street Profits promos we've had, which were on Raw and Extreme Rules, I didn't like, and I found them a bit annoying. So at least here, I didn't find them annoying.
Well, at least they weren't the Street Profits. Yeah.
Exactly, and I don't want to be that guy that doesn't like the Street Profits because they're my boys. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to have them on TV and then review it and be like, "I didn't like the promo."
Oh,
I want
no.
to try and be positive about them. So
I
like
this. I think you just need to keep it, like, if that's what we're going for, just stick with that. Like, stick with what works with them.
Yeah.
And, like, have it feel like it's still them. They're still, like, you know, the point should be they're still real. They've won the titles, but they've not changed at all.
Yeah.
They've just legitimized the fact that they were always real and they continue to do their promos in the way they did before. Because now it feels like they're becoming different people.
It's an excellent point. Last Saturday, we got footage from last Saturday at a live event where Mia Yim, like a dick, just attacked Marina Shafir for no reason whatsoever.
She's a mother!
She just beat her, exactly! She just beat her up for no reason. It was a fan.
I love it when he said a fan recorded this on his phone. He's like, "Oh, well, thank God the fan had the phone in landscape." Which nobody ever does.
And was just filming a building from the outside and then panned across perfectly to capture this.
Just film where I am. Oh, this weird thing's happening. I won't help.
But I will make sure I capture all of the action in perfect frame.
Yeah,
they're center of frame at all times.
I won't say anything.
Perfect HD as well.
Like, normally people would be like, "Holy yes, she's beating her up.
Yeah.
Call the police. Do something."
Because, really, if you're a fan and you're at this show, you've just seen a woman attack another woman, seemingly for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Mia Yim, like, slammed a car door and everything. I was like, all right,
she lock-stocked her.
Yeah, I was going to say, calm down. Fucking hell, she hasn't done anything. Next up, we got more of the breakout star. What's it called again?
The breakout tournament.
Breakout tournament, thank you. Between Bronson Reed and Dexter Lumis, who looks like a baddie from an Arnie movie.
He does, doesn't he?
He looks like Bennett. He looks like Bennett from Commando. And he just walks out. And he's just like this big stocky dude. He's got these gloves on. He's got a wicked tash. He's got some cool hair. And he's got these like really intense eyes. Basically like Dan Seven from like back in the day.
Mm.
And he just sort of walks to the ring. And he's got this very, very slow, ominous music. The commentators don't say anything. And then at the end go like, "I'm afraid of this man."
Yeah. He's got serial killer vibes, doesn't he?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what they're going for with the naming.
Totally. Oh, yeah,
Dexter,
completely.
And then Loomis is...
It was the guy who was after Michael Myers. It was Michael Myers'
but it's also,
psychiatric.
It's also the guy who's having the affair in Psycho.
Oh, that's right. Yes,
which
absolutely.
Is the guy, which is what the guy in
which is what it was. What yeah, it was named after. Absolutely, yeah. Good shout. So I thought it was a really cool presentation for him. They even said we were meant to have an interview that was meant to play on screen, but the production guys were so scared that they forgot to play it.
I really liked
that. I love that. Yeah. I thought it was such a cool little touch. Reed did get his insert promo where he said that people are often talking about Japanese strong style, British strong style, but I'm here to show Australian strong style, mate. Mm. And they did do some strong style power stuff.
Yeah.
I thought it was as good.
Yeah, it's not the best match of the tournament so far, but it
no, was... for me that's still going to. Well, I mean, I didn't see the first round, but I loved Grimes versus what's shit, man? What did they change his name to? Stoke Catholic. What did they change his name to?
Oh,
bugger. Anyway, him. We had him as a thumbnail a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, I can't remember.
But that lad. Isaiah Swerve Scott. That's the one.
Yeah, that's it. Strickland's old.
That's it. Strickland. That was it. Yeah. Whatever.
No, I like the first match.
That's the one I haven't seen.
Yeah, Garza's. It was really good.
Yeah, but this match was. It was okay. It was some big power moves. Yeah. There were some neck cranks in there. And then, you know, they did their big spots and some suplexes, and then Reed won with the big splash from the top.
Yeah, I was really expecting a bit more lobbing stuff about than there was. And
yeah.
It just didn't meet my expectations, that's why I wasn't so into it. But it just all felt a bit like Bronson Reed was sort of doing the shtick of I'm a really big guy, but he was just doing that to another big guy. And it lacks the impact of, like, you know, he's got cool moves.
Yeah.
So there's a bit where, like, Loomis is, like, leaning over the ropes. And Reed runs into the ropes to ping him off. And then on the way back, as he meets him in the middle of the ring, after they've both bounced off, he just clatters into him.
Yeah, yeah.
That would look amazing against... That's going to look incredible against ACH. So.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Or like someone like a bit smaller in stature who's just going to go flying. But like it just... Everything lacked a bit of impact. And it, even though they like sold that big back suplex that Loomis did, and they were saying, like, that's crazy. And it's like, I don't know, he just looked like he could lift him.
Yeah.
It's just something about the sizing of the two guys. I just looked at it and I was like, it doesn't seem impressive to me.
It's also one of those really weird things as well. And you kind of have to have this because it's a tournament and people have to win and people have to lose. Mm. But when you debut a guy who is like, the production team are so scared to play this guy's promo because he's so intense and he's so scary. And then he just loses.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, oh, well, he's less scary now, I guess, because he's just been beaten.
And I think, but also to have, also to do that and then have him with Bronson Reed, who comes out and isn't scared.
Yeah.
So, like, it would have, I think you could have done a better first round match with one of the smaller guys in the tournament.
Yeah.
And had them.
If you done with, like, Miles.
Yeah, exactly. And had him be scared.
Yeah. Yeah. And which would have been less Miles.
Yeah, which, yeah. Yeah. Fear for Miles. But you could have then had him start to overcome, and then at the end you have Smiley Jordan Miles. And then
Smiley Jordan Miles,
and it all makes sense. But yeah, it's just a bit of a weird presentation to go, he's so scary, and then Bronson Reed's just like, hey man.
Power slap.
Yeah.
I win. And Reed is going to face Cameron Grimes in the next round, which I think will be a lot of fun because, like, Trevor Lee's so good, and he'll have such a cocky arrogance about him, and then come up against this big ginormous dude.
Yeah, I think they'll probably match better.
Yeah.
I think in terms of like the kind of heel that Grimes is, I think Loomis's heel persona doesn't really gel unless the other person is a very specific type of face.
And actually on that, the next segment we got was Tyler Breeze having a photo shoot and Kathy Kelly walks up and he's like, "Let's chat and walk." And he talks about how, like, you know, I've just noticed everyone here's got friends, they've got groups, so I either need to adapt or, and then the Forgotten Sons walk in. And they say that Breeze is a blast from the past, this is a new NXT where actual men are. And Breeze is like, no, I'm a man, I've got a beard now.
Yeah.
So that was good. And then asked if Cutler was Buddy Murphy, which I thought was a really good line.
Yeah, that was really funny.
But the key to this, and the reason why I kind of like connect the two together, is Riker then steps up. Like, just steps right up to his face and just like, you're treating this like a joke. And this is no joke. And I just think that he is so scary.
Yeah.
Because they've protected him so well. Like, you remember during the ladder match stuff and like, they had to like, keep beating him down with a ladder to like, just make him stay.
Six guys.
Like, and like, and on the TV beforehand where all the Undisputed Era had to like, proper beat him up and lock him under a ladder in order for like, to, they can actually do their pose.
And he still crawled out.
And he still, so I think they've really, really protected Riker.
character in looking like a scary dude.
Yeah. I feel like they'll probably do the same thing with Loomis post this, like after this match. They'll take him away for a bit and then bring him back with a big, like, heel push that involves being terrifying and just mauling people. But
And we need another one of them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's the thing. We really don't need another one. But.
Exactly. Bree says that he's seen everything and he walks off. He's kind of teasing there's more to be done with Bree and the Forgotten Sons down the line, which I think I'm really up for. I think it'd be really cool. Particularly if it's like Bree brings back more Forgotten NXT call-ups and that's like his little crew of like the old school NXT guys. Bring a Chad Gable back or something. We've got a recap of...
I know what it is.
It's
really good.
Okay, well, tease. We've got a recap of Io Shirai from last week and her awesome sort of non-promo. She just looks so cool. Dark-sided Io Shirai. And they announced that she's going to be facing Casey Catamaran next week, which I'm sure will be fun.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Yeah.
Casey Catanzaro, who's still yet to have a proper debut as a singles competitor.
Yeah,
she's only been deployed to get the pop for her entrance, and then an angle happens.
And I can't see her picking up a win over Io Shirai.
I think an angle might happen.
Quite possibly. We then got what was easily the best match of the whole evening.
Oh, it was so good.
It was Kushida versus a returning to NXT Apollo Crews. Now, you'd seen this before I had, and you said to me this morning, it's the best that Cruz has looked in on Raw, SmackDown, and even his original NXT run.
Yeah, it's really fantastic match.
And I love the fact that the crowd clearly didn't know it was coming, because he got an enormous pop.
Yeah.
Like, when his music hits, the crowd exploded. For Apollo Crews, of all people. Yeah. But, like, they always react to the main roster guys. It's like, oh my God, it's a big return. Mm-hmm. And it was this was just brilliant. This is great.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed this match. I just thought it was so much fun.
Yeah.
And they played it really perfectly of, like, just playing off both the athleticism of both guys. And the finish, I think, is one of the coolest things I've ever seen.
Yeah, there was some really good, like, Fast and Furious action early on. And I like the spot where you had Kushida sort of, like, he just, like, ran to the outside and sort of goaded Cruz to follow him. Mm-hmm. And then he ran back in the ring. And as Cruz got on the apron, he was already doing, like, a handspring kick to knock him back down.
He did that a couple of times in this match.
He's
really
just
cool.
So quick. Kushida is crazy quick.
I love the idea that they kept putting over the idea that, like, Kushida's very quick. But Apollo, while a heavyweight comparative to Kushida, who would be a junior heavyweight, is like, he is still rapid.
So quick.
And it was only the fact that, you know, Kushida started working on the arm mid-match.
That's it, yeah.
During what was, you know, quite a lucky escape, really, for Kushida, because Apollo goes to do a sort of float over in the corner. Kushida steps back and then just kicks him in the arm as he's coming back down, which is a brutal-looking little spot.
And Nigel was putting it over so strong. It's like, that's so he can set up the hoverboard lock later. Like, he's now going to start targeting that arm. And he didn't. He started working over the arm. Mm-hmm. Every chance he got, he could target that arm. And that then slowed Cruz down, because he was trying to, like, do some moves, and his left arm would start to hurt.
Well, it's the big turn in the match was Cruz goes for the gorilla press.
Yeah.
And as he lifts him, he just drops him.
Drops him, yeah. Oh, it was so, so clever. And, yeah, the finish, holy heckins, they're up on the top rope, and they just fly into the air and land down with Kushida got him with an armbar.
It's like a Spanish fly armbar, isn't it? It was like, I was looking at it, because I watched the replay a few times, and I was just like, this is so dangerous. Like, because there's a point at which, like, in the replay, you see Kushida's leg is underneath Apollo. And, like, if he doesn't bring it out a tiny bit before the end of it, Apollo's going to crush his leg.
Yeah.
So Apollo's going to probably break his back and crush Kushida's leg at the same time.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just this perfectly done move where he lands completely split open in the perfect spot to then just bring that leg back in and lock in an armbar.
Yeah.
It's an amazing bit of athleticism.
Absolutely. Oh, it was so cool. And then Kushida rolled through that into the hoverboard lock for the win. Mm-hmm. But it was a wicked, wicked match. It was ace, Cruz and Kushida hug at the end. It's the best that Cruz has looked in a long, long time.
And it's easy. I think it is the best, like they said in the commentary, like, you know, Gulak was great. Cassius Ohno was the good debut. But this was the match. Like, this does feel like an escalation, and that's exactly what this storyline should be. This should be, if you're telling it by the tale of the company, which is that, you know, SmackDown's higher than NXT, Raw's higher than SmackDown, so we do Cassius Ohno when he turns up, Drew Gulak from 205, then we do a SmackDown guy, and then we're going to get a Raw guy, hopefully.
Lesnar.
Yeah. Oh my God, I hope it's Lesnar. I hope he loses.
Can you imagine?
I hope he loses the Universal title to Kushida.
Can you imagine?
On an NXT taping.
The pop that Lesnar would get. Like, if his music was played in the NXT in Full Sail,
yeah,
like, the crowd would go ballistic.
Well, look at what people did for Apollo Crews.
I know.
People exactly. would. I think people would explode. It'd be like the end of Kingsman.
I thought it was so cool. And for my money, I thought Cruz looked so much better coming out of this match with a loss than he did getting that roll up on Andrade on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Like, this did so much more for him in my eyes than getting a win over Andrade.
Well, because it was cheap.
A fluke.
It's cheap and a fluke on SmackDown. It's a roll up is surviving the match, I think. Like, I know WWE keeps presenting it as like, you got the best of me. I don't think it is. I think it feels like it always feels like survival.
Yeah, I completely agree. Speaking of survival, Keith Lee's a bit despondent at the moment. It feels like he's just surviving in NXT, the poor lad. And he's just getting this promo backstage where, like, they're asking about his tenure, and he's like, yeah, you know, I've had some stops and starts, you know, in the year that I've been here. And, I mean, all I heard about when I joined was these opportunities that would be at my feet, but I feel like I've been overlooked and passed on by. There's eight guys in this tournament for a title shot, and I didn't see that when I came in. And then he starts talking about Damian Priest, and he's like, he's a big guy that's just come in, and maybe I need to be the one to change the narrative. That's a good idea. Thanks, Kathy. And he walks away. Love, love, love Keith Lee.
I really love Keith Lee.
He needs more to do in NXT.
I hope they're not just going to have him lose Damian Priest.
Oh, mate. Yeah, tell me about it.
Because Damian Priest has had nothing but squash matches as well since he turned up. So, like, it would be weird for him to lose.
I wonder if they're going to do the Dijak story again. But just instead of Dijak, it's with Lee this time, which they didn't get to finish because Dijak went out with the injury.
Yeah.
So you do, like, the double count out finish, and then you build to a takeover match. Or, you know, on TakeOver TV, the week after TakeOver.
Yeah, I just don't think people are that into the Damian Priest character.
Not yet, really. No. Because it makes no bloody sense.
Yeah, it doesn't really make any sense. It's not as cool as Punishment Martinez. Like, we could just have him lose here and bring him back later, and it would be fine.
Yeah.
But Keith Lee, Keith Lee's had the promo, was it last week?
Last week, yeah.
Which was so good and, like, makes so much sense. Like, and if you're going to play off the fact that his character, like, his thing is, like, I've not really done anything since I've been in NXT because I've been given no opportunities. You have to pay off that by doing the opportunities. You can't do what the main roster does, which is go, everyone's really annoyed that Shane's here all the time. More Shane.
Yeah. My worry is that Priest is going to win next week. Keith's going to take some time off to reflect, and he'll go to NXT UK.
Oh, no.
That's my worry.
I'll start watching NXT UK.
And in the main event, Adam Cole was set to defend his NXT championship, and they never announced who it was going to be against. And there's a reason for that. He came out to cut a promo before the match, and he said that he's been all over the country on his Bay Bay tour. He's a true champion, and he says there's been an undisputed power switch in NXT. And he announces the person that he's going to face against, which was Twan Tucker, who was the lad that Gargano, like, let hold the title when he was there at the training school
in Cleveland.
Cleveland. And then Cole went there to sort of, like, mock people. That was not last week, it was the week before.
He just said, give up.
Yeah, give up.
I've bought you some pizzas, go home and eat them.
Exactly, yeah, move out this area because it's rubbish and you're all big smells. And so Twan comes out. And Cole says, he goes, like, look, I'm out on my own. There's no Undisputed Era here. You and I are just going to have a fair match. And Twan says, well, that's a shame, because I didn't come alone. And Gargano's music hits, the first time that we've seen him in a while. Place goes nuts. And I'm actually kind of gutted we didn't get the Cole-Twan match, because I think you could have had some fun of, like, Cole being really cocky and him getting some good, like, near falls on him.
Yeah, I felt like this was... I almost feel like the re-debut of Johnny here was done wrong. It would have been cooler, I think. You wouldn't have got the bigger pop of playing Johnny's music, but I think it would have been cooler if Twan said, I didn't come alone, and Johnny is already sliding into the ring.
Yeah.
And then you can just do that camera angle of Cole stopping for a second.
What do you mean? What do you mean?
And then Johnny's behind him.
Yeah.
That would have been so much better for me.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that one. I did think it was cool, though. I did really like this. And he came out, and he was just pissed off. And he just came out, and he just started battering this dude.
Because you really could... You could have done, Twan says, I didn't come alone. And the whole school surrounds him. Yeah. Like, you know, there's a lot you could have done with this, like, more than just...
Papa Gargano.
Yeah, and Papa Gargano's there. Everyone's holding a pizza. It would have been great.
We'll start throwing pizzas at him. Yeah, Gargano just started beating down Cole all throughout the arena. Murrow and Ali said Johnny Wrestling is Johnny pissed off. And Nigel just goes, it's more like Johnny bitter. So that was awesome. And the referees come down, they pull Gargano off, and Adam Cole stands there and holds his title up. And Gargano just does this huge dive off the stage onto Cole and wipes him out again. They get back into the ring. Cole tries the last shot, but Gargano super kicks him, does the DIY kick, and locks in the Gargano escape. Cole's tapping out furiously, and Gargano won't let go. You got Nigel screaming, he's like, this is an outrage. This is preposterous. Let him go. And I thought it was a really, really cool presentation of Gargano. He looked fired up and pissed off.
I think it was good presentation from both of them. I think they both, for the whole thing, just did their characters brilliantly.
Yeah, totally.
Because like, there was the point where Cole turns it around when they're in the stands and he rails Johnny against the barricade.
Yeah.
And rather than capitalize, he just tries to leave. And he's just trying to get to the back as quickly as possible. Yeah. Johnny chases him down and that allows Johnny to keep the fire going. And even when all the referees drag Johnny away, Cole gets up and still just holds the title up.
I'm still the champion, dude.
Like, and that's when Johnny comes back. I just think it's really clever.
And it wasn't announced on the show, but WWE have announced that Cole will defend the NXT Championship against Gargano at the TakeOver event over SummerSlam weekend. TakeOver Toronto.
Leaving and holding up the three as well, isn't he?
Gargano said, like, I want the rubber match. And so, yeah, they've made it official. And it's again, a 2 out of 3 falls match. Mm-hmm. With the stipulation that Gargano will pick stipulation for one of the falls. Cole will get to pick the stipulation for another. And if it goes to a third fall... William Regal will pick the last stipulation, which means it'll be a brass knuckle on a pole match.
Yeah, that's three exactly. Shades of hell, though, isn't it?
Exactly, yes, yeah, three stages
it's
of hell
It's going to
match.
Be a Boston Tea Party.
So, yes, the stipulations have yet to be revealed. But I thought, overall, cool episode of NXT, bro.
Yeah, it was really Loved fun. It was really, really fun. The only thing, I wasn't so keen on the breakout match.
Nope.
But it still did enough. For me, like I'm excited to still see the tournament continuing. I just think they've had a sort of diminishing return since those first couple of matches.
Yeah, totally.
But the second round of it looks amazing.
Oh, mate, I really, really enjoyed this episode. Mm. Like you, I thought the breakout match was the low point of it, but I like the fact that we've got a wrestler that looks like Bennett from Commando, so that gets a thumbs up from me.
He looks like a Chip from Small Soldiers. This is what he looks like.
And we got Killian Dane's big old return. Big Damo's big return. Big, big fan mate.
Ed Fries says, nothing, but thank you for your donation. Donovan Garcia says, you now have control of the E. Who's your top guy on each brand? By the way, just became a $25 backer, but have been watching for years. How can I get a name for shout-outs?
Well, either you can tell me in the community tab what you'd like the name to be, or you'll just get assigned one by me.
Which will be a Simpsons or Ghostbusters reference.
If anything to go by, yeah. Previous ones to go by. Yeah.
Or a vague song that Luke knows.
And I will then enjoy singing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's up to you, to be honest with you. To answer your question, who would be top guys? They've got too much talent in WWE to like just sit there and pick a name out at random. Because I'd probably say, I don't know, Riddle on one. I don't know. I don't know.
I would have Joe, definitely.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe's been hard done to, and he would be an amazing top guy on SmackDown, probably.
Yeah.
I just think he's just got it all. And I think if you want someone to chase a heel champion, Joe is the best heel champion because he's so good at talking.
Yeah.
And he's so but he feels like an actual genuine threatening presence as well.
And really, if I'm thinking about this from a business aspect, Roman's got to be one of your top guys. He's their biggest draw.
Yeah.
And I'd say Lesnar's another one because he's a big draw. Just get him to show up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
FT Manny, thank you for your donation. Zachary Marsh says, who do you want in the next Mae Young Classic, if there's going to be one?
I don't know, because that's a really tough question, because WWE hoovered up pretty much all of the women that were there last year, including the ones that no one wanted. AEW are hoovering up a lot of talent as well.
Yeah.
So it's actually really difficult to pick now, I guess. I can't even think.
WWE just kind of has a load of people. Like, Yeah. I think NXT UK has such a huge female roster, so you could use loads of people from there, like Millie McKenzie. I'd like to
see. Millie McKenzie's a good show. There was that at Frontline. There was, because I wasn't there, but I believe there was a ladies' match there that was absolutely amazing. Because what Pete was telling us.
Yeah, what was her name? Kind of V, did it?
Oh, no, I can't remember.
Can't remember the name.
Anyway, she was.
It was. Oh, what is her name?
I don't know. I wasn't there.
It's not Charlie Evans.
The quintessential diva, or something like that. Or?
She was the Ace of Eve. Is her name?
And then actually, there's a boatload of talent you could get from Eve.
Yeah. Anyway, they were. That was a great match. So yeah, I was those two.
Oh no. Giselle Shaw.
Giselle Shaw, that was the one. Mm. Yeah, she was wonderful. So yeah,
She actually had a NXT UK tryout recently.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was part of that with Session Moth. Moth would be a great shout in there.
Mm.
She was very good. Ben, Bad Predictor, Greenwood says, really enjoyed the MMA-style match Riddle had too.
Yeah, it was great. Really enjoyed it.
It was really fun.
Mr. Fritz says, thanks, lads. You make my night shifts enjoyable.
You're very, very welcome. Thumbs up.
No worries.
Spike Bite Gaming says, I just think Heyman led Raw with Cole and Riddle.
Yeah, I mean Adam Cole's he's a top guy anywhere. I think he should be a top guy on the main roster, particularly if he's got the era with him.
Especially now they've been on Twitter having a bit of back and forth about...
Yeah, with the club.
With the club.
I've seen a lot of people get
don't
very...
Don't ever tease
Well,
that.
That's the thing. It's one of those things that people are teasing. You're like, it's probably not likely going to happen, though, is it?
Don't be... Yeah, and don't be mean. if you know it's not happening, don't be mean.
Yeah, exactly.
Anthony James says, if NXT goes to Fox Sports 1 to challenge AEW, could you see NXT blossoming into more of a top brand and actually challenge Raw and SmackDown instead of it just being a launch pad? Also, El Fakador for Prime Minister. Legend.
I mean, I'd much rather you, to be honest.
I don't want it. It is a cursed chalice.
Oh, absolutely.
A lovely poisoned chalice there.
Delightful.
But it's the people who... just threw a Brexit, why not? Sure thing, I know what I'm doing.
It's always the people who don't want it that thrive best, though.
Yeah, but also...
I don't know, Theresa May didn't want it.
Yeah.
look how all that turned out.
That's
for
true.
Her. Anyway, back to the question.
Yeah.
Which was again... What was
could NXT, if it's going to be on TV, become a brand?
I doubt it. I don't think so.
I don't think
they wouldn't let it because they would just keep taking the fans out.
There you go. That's it.
Yeah. What was that?
That was me saying I agree with you.
Oh, okay.
You never seen that before?
No.
No.
You're young.
Must be a
child. Wingardium Leviosa.
Oh, now I get what you mean. The Red Smith says Chad Gable versus Jack Gallagher was fantastic on 205 Live. It was.
I've heard people write. You said it was good.
It was good. It wasn't like I was expecting an amazing match, and it was good.
I'll be honest with you. I mean, I've literally.
Maybe I've just got a really high standard.
Finished watching Kenta versus Tanahashi from the G1. So like, if it's not that, then I think people are like very much pushing this match into something that it probably isn't. Mm. But actually, I would also say, because I'm finally catching up on the G1 stuff that I've been missing out on. So I watched Kenta Tanahashi, which was absolutely brilliant. It was such a good match. Jeff Cobb versus Tomohiro Ishii. Ooh, holy heck, that's a beefy match. But it was awesome. And I'm not one to say this usually, but F Dave Meltzer for not liking Naito versus Toriano, because that match was awesome. I loved it. I laughed from start to end. It was so much fun. It was great.
R.A., thank you for your donation. Colton Daly says, is The Undertaker ruining his legacy by continuing to wrestle?
No, I think people are going to give him the legacy regardless.
He's earned the legacy. I think it's... It's just a bit sad. I think that's the issue, and it's also just because it's cynically motivated.
It is completely cynically motivated. So I think he'll always have the legacy, so I don't think it's going to ever be like tarnished or ruined. But
it depends on how far you go. I think it depends. Like if they carry on for another year with it, then maybe. Like
saying that, but
there's only so much bandwidth I think people have for watching car crashes in motion.
If it had ended at Saudi Showdown, then you'd have been like, oh god, that's a glib way to end off. Like Michael's ending off his career with that match. Like that's a glib way to end.
Yeah, you've got to get back.
But then you have like the Extreme Rules match that he had with Roman, Shane and Drew. Mm. Was awesome. It was like one of the best matches of the night.
Yeah, if he can get a good SummerSlam match under his belt and then retire, that would be the perfect end.
Yeah.
The perfect end
was WrestleMania when he got beat by
Roman.
That
was the one where he put all the stuff in the ring. Yeah. But if he could this time leave his trousers and...
and everything else.
Yeah, and everything else, and then that's it, yeah.
Walking out with his dong hanging out.
It got a four-star rating, that match.
It's because it was great. Mm. It was so much fun. I loved it.
Jobber JJ says, my recommended Formula One race this week is Germany 2000.
Christ on a bike.
This isn't my fault.
It is your fault. I'm blaming you. I'm just blaming you for it, Randy.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, in that case, it's fine. Joey Spade says, Randy turned on his mic. That's good. S-word, pal.
He didn't. I did.
Oh, that's true.
Because Randy forgot to do it.
No. Not today I didn't forget to do it. You had already done it before I turned up.
Forget.
Yeah. Tomo said, no, I was actually thinking about it quiet. I was like, as soon as I go in, I'm going to make sure. Tomo says, even though I watch these streams to chat with everyone, all I ever wanted was for everyone to just talk about me, because one, I'm greedy for attention, and two, I'm Tomo, for God's sake, don't judge me.
You're today's bumper on WrestleTalk News. Oh. Ollie Davis's first news back in a while.
Well, there you go. And our final one for today is from Nick Corvello with a very generous donation. It says, hi, Luke and Laurie. A weird hypothetical I wanted to ask you guys. Here goes. If Disney ever bought WWE, how do you think WWE would change? Canonically, Sheamus and Beaker are cousins, so there's already a foot in the door.
Do you know what? I was listening to a podcast yesterday, in fact, that was talking about how when Disney bought Marvel and Lucasfilm, that everyone on the internet was like, oh, God, they're just going to kiddify Marvel and Star Wars. It's like, I mean, they're four kids anyway. I don't know what you're like.
Yeah, well, I don't know what your problem is.
And then it was like, but then they were like, well, I don't know. Disney have got Touchstone. You know, they had Miramax. You know, they've done, you know, some more adult orientated stuff. And then I've been really sad to learn that they have just kiddified it. And I'm like, have they, though? Did they kiddify the MCU? Infinity War didn't feel like a kid's film.
Yeah, it killed 50% of the population.
Like, yeah, I don't think that, like, Star Wars hardly feels kiddified. Did you see Return of the Jedi?
Star Wars always had a man dressed as a dog for, like, the whole thing. There was a little bin running around.
So
a man painted gold
that.
And a dog dude. And that was like, that was for adults.
We've had one quick one in from Jobber JJ. Says,
but to answer the question of how it would change, I wouldn't, probably not at all. But I think, apart from Beaker and Sheamus being cousins.
I think story-wise, nothing, but I think there would probably be a larger injection of famous talent.
And there'd be WWE World at Disney World.
Yeah, but I think they probably would do a lot more sort of bringing in random celebrities every week for things.
You definitely have a few shows from Disney, Disney.
Yeah, totally, yeah. Like from Epcot.
Themed matches.
And that big golf ball.
And the last one is from Jobber JJ. Says, what's wrong with Formula One? It's good S word.
Fine. I mean, that it, you know what? Never, I don't know. Don't crap on other people's opinions.
Oh, and
it's just not for me, mate.
One more. Bucky the Ace Ventura says, which feud was the peak of NXT?
Oh, that's a good question.
It's hard because I don't think it has peaked.
No, exactly.
But it's like there's been many amazing feuds. I don't think it's gone downhill ever. But
say NXT stops tomorrow. What was?
Yeah, like what?
If it stopped tomorrow and you had to go, what was the best feud? Champa Gargano is my favorite feud in NXT.
Yeah,
in all WWE at the moment, in the last 5 years of WWE, that, it's my favorite feud.
That Champa Gargano trilogy last year, that is. Among, like, if not the best stuff,
it's kind of almost better that it didn't finish properly.
Yeah, maybe.
Like, because it leaves the possibility open that it might come back.
Yeah,
and we didn't get the full wrap up and have to be like, oh, what's the disappointing follow up to this?
Yeah,
you know, you could bring Ciampa back now and have nothing to do with Gargano, and you could just be like, well, there's still the potential there that they might do something with it, and they don't have to like have the weird sophomore effort.
Yeah. We had an email in from Michael Roberts, who says, Luke, Laurie, Ollie, Chopper, and you know what? I'll even say it. Hi, Andy.
Disgusting.
You told us to submit our tattoo, so attached is my first and only tattoo currently. The tattoo is of Rush's Permanent Waves record. Rush is one of those bands that's always been a favourite of mine growing up and has been a big influence on me as a musician. The tattoo was done in one sitting of 8 hours, only little breaks here and there. Apologise for the angle because it's hard to take a picture of your right arm when you're right-handed. Also, because of the debate is always fun, do you guys shave your tattoos? I normally wouldn't since the tattoo is of a woman, but I feel awkward when she has her legs are a bit hairy. Anyway, love the show. As always, keep up the awesome job. Thank you, guys. That's from Michael. So here's the tattoo.
Oh, that's cool. that's wicked.
Bit of Rush. Love a bit of Rush. I'm actually really mad into Rush at the moment. I've been listening to 2012 a lot and Moving Pictures. So, off the back of that email, I'm going to get Permanent Waves downloaded on Spotify, and I'm going to listen to that on the way home today.
Very nice. Do you shave your tattoos?
I, like the one on my arm, I don't have any hairs on my upper arm, so that's okay. And I think the one on my chest is sort of like quite strategically placed that it's not really amongst where my chest hair is. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't really affect it. The only one, I had to get part of my arm shaved for this, and I was wondering whether I'm going to need to shave the one on my wrist, whether I'm going to need to shave it. But I don't think it's, my hair is thick enough to kind of warrant it. So I think I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm quite fair-haired, so I'm sort of all right. I shave the top of my arms because it's thicker, darker hair. Yeah. So I just shave that anyway. But yeah, everything else is all in positions with fair hair. So they come out quite clear anyway.
Yeah.
I imagine the situation would be very different if I decided to ever get my chest tattooed, which would sign me up for a lifetime of waxing.
Oh, yeah,
I don't want to be involved in.
Like if you were Ollie Davis as well, like, and you had like a tattoo on his very hairy arms.
Yes.
Like he'd probably have to keep shaving a little patch of it because he gets like, because he's got like Robin Williams like arms where it's just like, it's nothing but hair.
Yeah, well, he should think about getting a tattoo that that works with the hair. So like, there it is. You know, of a bear or something.
Absolutely.
And then you could shave. Then you could shave around the tattoo.
Mm.
A completely different avant-garde take on it is like build the hair into the tattoo and shave around it.
To build off from our chat earlier, get a tattoo of Chewbacca.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That dog from Star Wars.
The dog from Star Wars. but anyway, let's get out of this super stupidly hot studio. I don't think we've got any other emails to get through. So please do get your emails in. Luke@WrestleTalk.com with your sort of general chit chat, your get betters, your jokes and whatnot, and your Rusev haze. But we're going to call it a day there. Ollie and I will be back on Saturday for the magazine show. I don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but I'm sure we'll figure something out. But until then, take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes. Without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.